الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم، يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه، فطاب من طيبهن القاء والأكم. روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه، فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته، لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا، واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يريدون علوا في الأرض ولا فسادا والعاقبة للمتقين. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Allah tabaraka ta'ala has sent us in this world for a definite purpose. Our we are here, and we are made of the material of this world. Our body, the blood that is made is from the food that we eat, and food is from the things of this dunya. So we are here, and our attention, we see dunya all the time around. So our attention is towards dunya also. But Allah ta'ala says that look a bit further. Look further than the horizon. Just don't look what meets your eye. There is something much more. Tilka darul akhirah. That is the house of akhirah. We haven't sent you for the dunya's sake. That is the kuffar. They have got no yaqeen on the akhirat. The animals, they've got nothing to prepare for akhirat. But as mu'mineen, you people know. We have given you that knowledge. Your iman teaches you that akhirat is your object of life, not this dunya. Dunya is by way of necessity, what is necessary for us. But our object, our purpose, we should wake up every morning and say to Allah, my purpose of life is the akhirat. I'm here in this dunya for akhirat. And that must be my object. My purpose of life is my namaz. Inna ahamma umurikum indi as-salah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu should write to the governors, not the religious people, the people who are in the governing of the country. And he should tell them, the most important matter by me is namaz. Right? For the people who are running the country, for them, for the ulama and the pious, in the darul ulums, in the khanqas, etc., theirs is completely different. But for the people who are in dunya, should say the most important matter is namaz. So these are the things that we should tell Allah Ta'ala. My purpose of life is to make namaz. And I'm living for namaz, not just by the way namaz. I'm making my five times. When I get it, I get it. When I miss jamaat, I miss it. It's not a big deal. No. With that determination. And we see our elders, they were so particular that even when they go on safar, they should make sure they get their namazes and in the masjid and with jamaat. They should take lot of care for that. So that must be not just that, today I'm not feeling a bit well. And what is I'm not feeling well? My eyebrows are sore. My nails are sore. So I won't go for jamaat. I'll make namaz at home. No. It's the object of life, namaz. and namaz with all its requisites properly. Not just slapdash namaz. We're going to make istinja. We just splash some water. A person who makes his object the namaz, then everything associated with it also, we do it properly. So unfortunately, because we are in this dunya and our lifestyle, today from a child that is still a small child, mother gives him a cell phone now. Hey, days of the past should give him some panado syrup and put him to sleep. Now with the cell phone he's busy. And small children, they know exactly how to maneuver and what sites to get to. And they are watching comedies, for example, cartoons, for example. And all of these also got Satanism. And even if they did not have, now they are just in this all, passing time. Then a little bit bigger than it is, toys. Some children, a whole room full of toys. And the whole object. On the other hand, we see, if the object is Akhirat, Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali says that his mother used to speak so much about Akhirat, about Qiyamah to him, that one day he was a little child of about 3 and he fell off the bed and he screamed, Qiyamah, Qiyamah. He thought Qiyamah came. Today our children, where will they? What is there? There is all the toys and all the cartoons and all the all this dunya thing. Their clothes they are worried about. We are just worried about clothes, all those things. So we have to keep our vision much more further. And it is also, we speak like this and we think that we are all right. I'm in your sunnat, I got beard, I got topi, amama, kurta, everything I've got, so I'm all right. The others are not all right, sir. And we have to go and tell them. But the reality is how much we come right. And we have to worry, we come right, so much the others will come right. For example, namaz we want, the whole ummah must become namazis. Now, what is the way for it? That we go to them, speak to them about namaz? No, the way is, we must correct our namaz. How much our namaz will come right, then they will start making namaz. But if we are just making superficial namaz, namaz and automated namaz, just an automatic namaz. Our heart is not in namaz. Our outward postures are not correct. And we're just making our outward namaz. All we are worried about is that the qiraat must be very beautiful. Besides that, whether there is life in the qiraat or not, that we are not concerned also. Whether the qiraat moves us to think of akhirat. We just want it to be very nice. Dua also, that dua is very nice, which is like a sing-song dua. Whereas reality of dua is something else completely. At one time, very many years ago in Darul Uloom Deoband, they were making taraweeh, and not a big jamaat also. Today, which jamaat, which taraweeh is very good, which is the earliest, which is the fastest. That taraweeh is very good. Whereas they were small, 5-6 people. And just in one corner somewhere, they were making their taraweeh. And when the imam, Mufti Azizur Rahman Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali read, Yawma Tubla Sarair, the day when the secrets will be opened up. And he repeated this ayat. Then some of them fell unconscious. And he repeated that ayat all the time. And it was like out of this world scene. So that is what is required. And what we, that Taraweeh, that is the fastest, that is the earliest, that Taraweeh, we say, is very good Taraweeh. And where the Imam reads also, and a melodious sound. And we will praise the sound of the Imam also, how he reads. We're not in touch with the reality. We just want the outward beauty. And then if the Taraweeh, they have some little snacks also, then even more it is appealing. So Allah Ta'ala give us that we come to realize the reality. And that will be for those who are closer. Our namazes become namaz. Then the other people will start reading namaz. And when we have just at least our outward postures of namaz even come correct. Today our outward postures also are far from what it's supposed to be. For example, the first starting point of namaz is when you stand. The standing position. and our legs must be, this everyone knows. Another great deception which we are facing is that we think it's all right. I've got deen because I know. And we feel by default, by being an alim, by knowing, that is, I'm going to Jannah. It is not on our knowing, it is on our practicing, on how much it is in our lives. You tell somebody, make namaz, he says, I know I must make namaz. That is not sufficient, you know, and you know the details of namaz. But to make namaz, and to make the namaz correctly, so the namaz, the legs, for example, in namaz, we all know they must be 4 fingers apart. But hardly anyone, it's 4 fingers. Almost all of us, the minimum will be 1 hand span. And many of us, 2 hand spans, the legs are apart. And we all know the legs must face Qibla. But we regard all these also as insignificant things. These are small, why are you sweating this small stuff? These are small things, why are you worried? These are the important things. When if this is not correct, if our legs are not facing to Qibla, one is facing to Bollywood and one to Hollywood, where will the barakat of Kaaba come into our lives? And all this is absurd. تَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنَا. You think of them as small things. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. By Allah, they are very big things. So that is. And the sad part is that, for example, the Imam will announce also, صَفُّوا صُفُوفَكُمْ. Make yourself straight. وَإِنَّ تَصْوِيَةَ الصُّفُوفِ مِنْ إِقَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. Making the straight surf, the surf straight, that is from إِقَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. That is the completion, the correction of namaz. That your namaz will be perfected, will be complete. It will be a correct namaz if your saf is straight. So the saf must be straight. But the imam himself, his one leg is a little bit in front of the other one. Easily you'll see 1 centimeter different. His legs are not in a straight line. In the same way the musallis also. One leg is a bit front, one is a little back. So if you as an individual, you're not straight, then how can the whole saf come straight? If everyone is worried to be on the straight line, then the whole saf will be straight. This is like a king had announced that I would like in my pond that all must fill it with milk. So or the announcement he made, all people must come and fill it with milk. So they came and the people thought that everyone is going to throw milk. If I throw water, what's the difference? Why must I waste my milk? I'm going to throw water, so it won't make any difference. It will be filled with milk. But unfortunately, everyone thought like that. And in the morning, there wasn't a drop of milk. Only water. So just like that, I think everyone else will be standing straight if I'm standing out. And even one person out, the whole surface is not correct. So it's very, very important that our legs must be, that our standing position. The ladies also at home, though they don't make what jamaat, but the legs must be in the correct position, what is required for ladies to be. And we also, the whole saf also, every individual also, the whole saf, our legs must be correct. So that is one very, and we see, for example, we go to these security buildings, banks, government buildings. Then for security, you enter that small cubicle, which got a door here, you enter and another door, then you go get into the building. But if you don't stand in that circle which is made, the front door doesn't open. You have to stand in the right place. The same way with namaz, if we are not standing correct, then this namaz won't go up to Allah Ta'ala. As it comes clearly in the hadith, for some people, namaz does not go 1 hand span up also. We are happy. My Ustad Hafiz Muhammad Sallu Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say that we are happy we made namaz, but we are not concerned whether namaz is accepted or not. We just made it. Like a person is happy, I made my application for my ID. I made my application for my visa. And he's happy telling everyone I made my... He's not worried whether it will be granted or not. Whether namaz is accepted by Allah, that concern we have to have. And Allahu Akbar, that also is such that it comes in the hadith that there are those amal a person did 100% correct, correct he did it, with sincerity also, accepted by Allah Ta'ala also. But after some time, whatever period of time, now he talks about it. And he did that, and nobody knew about that amal of his. His tahajjud, for example, his charity which he gives, nobody knew. Now he talks about it, but within the limit. He talks about it to encourage other people. But now that amal which was in ikhfa, hidden away, which value is much more, now it has come into the category of public. It's a public amal now. People know, but still, your sincerity was there. It's accepted by Allah Ta'ala. And then if you speak about it, now to show people that I did this. I made hajj so many times. I gave so much charity. I get up at this time for tahajjud, and so many rakats of tahajjud I make. And now you show people, now that amal is gone out of sincerity into show now. Which was at one time when you started it, you did it correctly. It was accepted by Allah. But according, and we've got a whole life to live. And we don't, and today it is our habit, it is our way to sell our amal. We don't even, وَيُحِبُّونَ أَن يُحْمَدُوا بِمَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا. Allah explains the condition of people. They love to be praised for that which they did not even do. We want praises from people, even for those actions which we didn't do. We haven't got amal, and we want praises on them also. We haven't done them correctly, but we want praises for that also. And this is the condition of man. And until he does not make effort to correct and make his islah, just making five times namaz, having outward forms of deen, and that our clothing, and we feel we are alright, we are far from the mark. We have to get the reality of deen into our lives. And this is not only in deen, in dunya also. A person who buys goods, and it's all fake goods. They're not actual, he just bought all wrong things, just outward things. He can be so happy, I bought so much of it. But it's not reality. It's not what has to be, what he has to have. We have got just plastic things. Today we say, even our food is plastic. The things we, those things, they are not reliable. They are not what you are supposed to have. So our deen also, a plastic deen. An outward form of deen, that is not acceptable. The reality, and that is, which has got the rubber stamp of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the lives of the sahaba, it must be on that line. And if it is on some modernist way, some ways of pleasing the governments, for example, dunya's way, then that hasn't got the stamp of the sunnah, and that is totally, it will be rejected by Allah Ta'ala. So we have to make our object the akhirah. That is what Allah is telling us. Tilka darul akhirah. Ishara ba'id tilka. You are looking at hada, this dunya's life. But Allah says, lift your eyes. Lift them further than the horizons. Don't just see where the sky is meeting the earth. Don't see to the end of the world. We have to see beyond the world. And the people of this dunya, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali writes, all their conclusions they come to, it is because of their limited knowledge. They only have got, whether it is scientific, their technology, all their knowledge is only of this dunya. They don't see beyond dunya. One time, one white man, non-Muslim, told Shaykh al-Islam, Hazrat Maulana Shabbir Ahmed Usmani Rahmatullah Ali in Karachi, that you people in the Quran Sharif, Muslims, you have been commanded that you must make tafakkur, meditate, ponder, and research about the heavens and the earth. Inna fi khalqis samawati wal ard wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahar la ayatin li ulil albab. There are clear signs for ulul albab, for the wise and the intelligent. He says, we've researched it. We experimented, and consequently we reached the moon. And you people are no Western. You haven't gone, you haven't, no progress you have made. So that is what they understand, that to reach the moon, which is all in this worldly life, it's not out of the worldly life. And all their efforts is just to reach till there. As Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali explained, what did they achieve going to the moon? All they brought from there was some sand. So he said, as if there wasn't sand here in the world. What an experiment, and how much money, and how much of effort just to bring sand back. He said, so Manar Shabir Ahmad Usmani Rahmatullah explained him that we have done what Allah wants us to do. You people have just seen the superficial. But all this is to recognize Allah. Rabbana ma khalaqta hadha batila. Oh Allah, we understand you haven't created this in vain. And the thing is, we have to make waqina adab an-nar, that we have to save ourselves from the fire of Jahannam. You people haven't given up your shirk, your kufr, your disobedience of Allah. Where have you understood the ayat? So the object, one is the outward which people look at, and one is the inside reality. So that is what a mu'min sees. A mu'min in everything he sees. If today, if we have any matter, whether it's a masjid, some mashura about the masjid, the parking, anything, and the mutawallis, they have a meeting and they discuss what we think about the practical things which are around us. And whether it is of a darulum, the tabligh jamaat and ijtima, we think of these things. That our line of thinking must be first, what does Allah want from me? Haji Bhai Abdul Wahab Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says that right at the beginning of the tabligh work, people, Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali was making tashkil. First tashkil he should make for one gush. No, 3 days and 40 days, and that was far. One gush, people were not prepared to give time for deen. Even for one gush, who was prepared to give time? So Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib said that, I said these things are difficult to tell people 3 days when they don't want to give time, 1 hour they want to give, and you are asking them for 3 days. The people couldn't understand this work. So Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali said, that is the point I want to make. He says, don't see what is practical for us. See what we have to do. And we must work towards what we have to do. And to work in that direction. With that conviction, we're going to do it. When you find an obstacle, it doesn't get done. People are not getting time. Now come back and now see. Don't from the start say, no, it's not practical. We, in many of our matters, we will just say, this is the deeni issue, but it's not practical. Nobody will do it. Nobody will listen. So that is not the attitude of a mu'min. A mu'min, and see, now it's been proved with this war in Gaza, that what strong tanks of the Israelis, what expensive tanks, and with ordinary guns of theirs, they are blowing up the tanks. They themselves can't understand this. I can't believe what's happening, they say. That it's impossible. We also as Muslims forgot the Qudrat of Allah. We also only outward asbab, cause and effect. We also, that is the work of a kafir, of a non-believer. He thinks in that lines, not a believer. A believer's nazar is on the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Whatever we want to do, we know the name of Allah Al-Qawi. Allah is the all-powerful. And our, like in Jamaat it says, when your tashkil is being made, and you want to go, jayb ko mat dekho. Don't look at your pocket, how much money I got. Ghayb ko dekho. See how much Allah has got. And if your eyes are there, Allah will make the arrangement for you. But our eyes are not there. Our eyes are how much I got. And we work according to that. A mu'min, the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the more they went into deen, the less they had. They didn't make effort for dunya. For deen. So what did they, but how much Allah gave them. So deen is, and our eyes must be on Allah Ta'ala. Our eyes are on asbab. How much have I got? How much can I do? How much is practical for me to do? And today that alim also is regarded as a good alim, who he thinks that what is practical, that you must consider the people. Whereas Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was advised that in the matters of deen, don't consider the people, see the command of Allah. And in the matters of Allah, don't consider the people. And in the matters of the people, think of the commands of Allah. So we have to, that is our direction. So tilka darul akhirah, that is the house of akhirah, which we have to prepare for, and we have to keep in mind in all our matters. we are keeping, I have to run my house, I have to earn my person's tashkil is made, go in jamaat 4 months. You think I've got my family to feed, I've got the, seldom it is that I've got, that he thinks that Allah will take me. On the, and those people who stand up and the trust of Allah, they give their name, they move whole life after that. They are just moving all the time. And not one, two incidents, how many incidents? But our, so this is what we have to have, our eyes on Allah Ta'ala. The great buzurgs of the past, they should write to one another, remind one another of three major things. One is to make akhirat our object, not dunya. Today we will see that my dunya, my house, I have to put it right. I've got my bond to pay. I've got my car to pay off. We have put ourselves in all these things. That is the how capitalist, the dunya's people work. That's not the work of a mu'min at all. That we just consider dunya's thing. So our nazar is just here. So the first thing is that we must keep akhirat in mind. Make our object of life the akhirat. And we have to speak to ourselves regularly. A good time is when we get up. 1-2 minutes, sit in bed and say, Ya Allah, my object of life is not this dunya. My object of life is akhirat. And then see, just on our niyat, how Allah starts making things easy. And dunya is meant to for us. Allah has created dunya to serve us. But we have today made dunya our object. And we are serving dunya. And because we are serving dunya, so we are not getting the benefit. We are created for akhirat. If we work for akhirat, Allah will give us our dunya. So Allah Ta'ala, so that is one. The second they should make the niyat is the being of Allah. That we are here to please Allah Ta'ala. How many of us have got the jistuju, that seekingness, that what does Allah want from me? In this matter, yeah, my child is crying, whatever is happening, what does Allah want I must do? Or am I thinking, well, give him his toy, he wants a toy, give it to him. He wants a phone, give it to him. Or what is the command of Allah? We don't think of that. Anything else, the wife comes with a request. We see in the lives of the buzur, they didn't really consider the request of the wife, what is the command of Allah. And in that way, they sorted out their matters. But we, that what a beggar comes to the door, well, what does he want? Give him what he wants. Or chase him away. We don't see what is the command of Allah. We only see what is practical around us. The third thing, the buzurgs used to write to one another and remind them that be worried and concerned of your islah, of your batin. Your inside must be corrected. That your aqaid must be corrected. Your namaz must be the inside of your namaz. Not just the outward form. Your zikr. How many of us make zikr? And if we make zikr, is there any life in that zikr? Or is it usually a time when we are half sleepy? A time when we've got the phone also. We are checking our messages also and making our zikr also. Or some other thing we are watching, listening to the radio. When to make ourselves justified, it's an Islamic radio. But what is Islamic in that radio, only Allah knows. Well, how much of Islam is in that radio? So, if we make akhirat our object, we make Allah our object, and worried about our nafs. Today we are worried of the whole world, and that what is this one saying, what is that one saying, and in the matters which are commonly floating around, there are three groups of people. The vast majority are the spectators. They just want to see what's going to happen. This alim, that alim. This institute, that institute, and there are those also who will go carry tails between them. Let them fight, and we as spectators will watch. Now what is he saying? What is he doing? That is the vast majority. Some are on the right side, and some are on the wrong side. Devoted to the wrong and to the right. But the vast majority, we are just like spectators. And these are people who are regular with namaz. And they always, but they are the ones who carry tails, and they want all this to carry on. So we have to keep in mind our akhirat. Allah is a person who makes akhirat. It comes in the hadith: "Man jaalal humum hum hamma wahidan hamma al akhirah." A person who makes all his worry, one worry, hammal ma'ad, the worry of the akhirat, kafahu Allahu hamma dunyahu. Allah takes care of all his dunya's worries. But that won't make sense to us. I have to pay my merchants, I have to pay my rent, I have to see to this, I have to see. You do your niyat is akhirat, Allah will see to all your needs. And it comes in the same riwayat, a person who makes his worries, the worries of dunya, then لَمْ يُبَالِ اللَّهِ فِي أَيِّ أَوْدِيَتِهِ هَلَكُوا كَمَا قَالَ لِيسِ. Allah does not care in which valley he goes and destroys himself. And really, many of us, how many of us are being destroyed and we don't realize? That we are living here, we are worried of this dunya, our akhirat, correcting our namaz, correcting our iman and our aqidah. How many of us, our conviction is that medicine gives me shifa. And we will say, doctor gave me this instruction. And doctor's instructions are above the instructions of Allah Ta'ala also. And protocols the governments make, atheists make, we give them preference over the commands of Allah Ta'ala. The masjids are the place of the solution of all matters. But we made the masjid the cause of the problem. So when we make our object the wrong thing, we go complete. So Allah says, I have made that akhirah. Tilka darul akhirah. Naj'aluha. Allah says, we have made it. Allah is one. But Allah speaks with authority. Like the government is one authority of government, but they don't say I, they say we. So Allah is one also, but authoritatively they speak, Allah says, I made it. Allah did not give the contract of building Jannah to any master builders or master architects or anyone. And Allah is the most superior. How Allah makes it, who can ever make it like that? And the Jannah which Allah has made, just see how pure, how Allah is the one who builds it. But to make it is so easy. For example, it comes in the hadith. A person who reads 10 times Surah Ikhlas, قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allah builds a palace for him in Jannah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, if that is the case, we will build plenty of palaces. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allah's qudrat and His mercy and His generosity is far beyond that. Don't think you can exhaust Allah and His resources. You can keep on reading. We will get tired, but Allah won't get tired building our palaces. Now, 10 times to read Surah Ikhlas is not more than a minute. About half a minute you can read 10 times Surah Ikhlas. Now, in half a minute, who can build a 10 shanty? Who can think of the building, just the planning in the mind, that I have to build a 10 shanty, a little hut, a jhompri, and then the actual making of that small 10 shanty, just one room. You need zinc, you need the carpenter, you need the plumber, you need the place, the land where you can, how long? But really, deen is so easy. But shaitan has put us completely in the wrong. We as good, who are regarded pious, learned people, we don't see deen as so easy. To build, to make an investment or in one building, in one house, one shop, that is easy for us. We will go through all that. But to make an investment of akhirah, take 1 minute to sit and read 10 times Qul Huwallah. Who of us got time to read the 2 nafils of Zohar? That 2 nafils of Zohar is also a palace in Jannah. But we haven't got the time. At that time, shaitan immediately puts in our mind, you got this work, that one is waiting for you, this phone. And he puts in you that you gave somebody time and you must be punctual on your time. As a Muslim, you must be punctual. And you must be punctual with Allah Ta'ala, with your time. That way we don't... With other people, we must be punctual. So our deen is very, very important. And we must be preparing for akhirah. And when we do that, Allah will put our dunya also in order. And the object of our life is akhirah, is not dunya. And also, if we come into deen also, then whichever effort of deen, we feel that is deen. This is another great deception that has overtaken us. Whatever effort, like to become an alim, we go Darul Ulum, become an alim. Now I've got deen, I finish, I got my Jannah's ticket if I became an alim. If I became a Hafiz, I got Jannat sticker. Whereas it comes clear, the first people to enter Jahannam will be the ulama. Those who learned and did not practice on what they learned. Those who learned and did opposite to what they learned. And on the other hand, those ulama who practiced also, they will be the people who will be, thousands they will be taking with to Jannah. So it is not just a matter of that actual learning, becoming an alim, becoming a hafiz, etc. That is not sufficient, an alima, hafiza, etc. The necessity is the effort must be done and the purpose for it, that must be also achieved. A person, for example, he cooks the best biryani in the world. And he's a rich man and a generous person. He cooks and then he goes and gives it himself to all people, poor people also, orphans also. He's feeding everyone, but he doesn't eat one rice also of that biryani. He doesn't eat. He won't survive. He'll die. If he's not going to eat, he's going to die. So we also in deen, if we're making effort on other people all the time, and no effort on ourselves, we are not practicing on deen. And in there, let us see a few basic things about how much of deen is in our lives, we who regard ourselves as dindar. For example, adhan. Adhan goes, most probably, all of us where we're living, we hear adhan. But think for ourselves sincerely, and it's only for within ourselves. Do I respect the adhan? Or do I carry on with all my work? Whatever I'm doing, I'm on the phone, do I carry on with the discussion? I'm doing some other work, do I carry on? Or do I stop now and reply to the adhan? How many of us do that? And the second to reply, today from Fajr till now, Maghrib, 4 adhans we have heard. Ask ourselves, did I reply to the adhan? We might be taking it for granted I do, but am I replying? Did I read the durood after adhan? And then after that, the dua that I have to read. And a person who does that will get the intercession of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam will only intercede for the believers, which in turn means your mort will have to come on iman. We all are worried, we are saying that we are living in times when in the morning you'll be a mu'min, by the night you'll be a kafir. But what are we doing about it? If we wake up in the morning, it's cold. So what do? We put on warm clothing. We don't just say, oh, it's very cold, and people going to freeze in the cold. We wear warm clothing. So what are we doing to protect our... We're all talking about it. That today, fitnas are a lot. All the time there are fitnas. You can lose your iman all the time. But what am I doing to save myself and my iman? What am I doing? My wife, if we hear there's going to be a shortage of certain commodities, we take precautions. We try and get it. We try and stockpile whatever it is. But what am I doing about the iman of my wife, my children? What preparation? We're still carrying on with our lifestyle. They got murats on their clothing. They are attending the schools where they are learning all the wrong things, Darwin's theory of evolution, etc., the Big Bang theory, where they are mixing boys and girls, and how sad it is. The cases which come, at home, the people come. At home, the family said yesterday that, what are we facing now? Young girls coming, haram pregnancies, has become like the norm now. And after that, when they become now, the guilt overtakes them, becoming suicidal. Parents become so. Our daughter, in our house this happened, and then they go on to drugs, on to alcohol. A girl that was going to be a wonderful lady in the society, a complete write-off now. Committing suicide, gone on drugs, etc. And these are regular features. So just swept under the carpet, and still carry on sending to university, sending to school. We need doctors. We need female lawyers, we need female doctors, we need them all. And at the cost of our iman also, at the cost of our akhirat also. So don't make dunya our object. Tilka darul akhirah. And Allah has made that jannat, and it will be forever and ever. And the quality you can't imagine. But many of us, we have doubt in the akhirat also. That is it really. Like that we will say about the akhirat. But how much conviction we have got, our amal will automatically be according to that. We are sitting in our lounge, in our bedroom. We hear a bang. We know there is something wrong. So automatically you're going to do something. So when we hear about إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا, why doesn't it shake us? When we hear يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةِ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ, the shaking of the world on the day of Qiyamah will be something very severe. But it doesn't shake us at all. The most it is, we will get a qari who sings it in a very melodious sound, and we will be very happy, but it won't shake our heart at all. So that reality has to come into us, that we prepare. So Allah says, that is your house of akhirah, and Allah has made it, and forever and ever, najaluha. And for who Allah has made it? Many descriptions in the Quran Sharif. Yeah, Allah has given two of them. لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Yeah, I've made it for those people who don't want name and fame in this world. They don't want, they haven't got pride. They don't feel that أَنَا أَنَا وَلَا غَيْرِ. It's only me and there's nobody else. So there we are big people. All must listen to me. All that pride. Where they don't only think that some big people, we think they have got this pride. Me in my house, that do I don't listen to my wife, any advice. I don't listen to anyone. Only what I say, everyone must do. I've got my authority in my house. I'm the boss. Whether I'm right or wrong, all must do what I say. Or do we consider and take everyone's view into consideration. Mashura we have to be. Allah's Nabi was Allah's Nabi. Wahi should come. Jibreel alayhi salam should come. But Allah declared, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Make mashura with your sahaba. The sahaba, the highest ranking, all of them together can never come anywhere where the Nabi was. But Allah is commanding him, make mashura with the sahaba. So why we can't make mashura with our family and take their views also? We just feel what I know everything. And if it's an alim, even more. That and if he's got some following, then it's finished. That ana wala ghairi, I'm the top person, and I don't have to listen to anyone. So we shouldn't have this pride. Wala fasada, and not all the Allah jannat is not meant for those people who make fasad. And today that is also in all our circles. It's common, carrying tales, make people fight. And we want to be sitting as spectators, and we want to watch the fight then. And then we make our comments. This one did this, this one did that. He shouldn't have said that, he shouldn't. We are now wasting our time. If in that time, we sat and we read one tasbih 33 times, subhanallah, alhamdulillah 34 times, that was much more superior. We read one ayat of the Quran, that was much more superior than all what we are getting involved. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And Allah says the end result is for the muttaqeen, those who will consider the commands and observe the commands of Allah. Not those that will go and think, well, let them talk and we will carry on doing what we want to. Let them say what they want to, and all the ulama are talking, well, let them talk, but we know what we have to do. Those people, the end result is not good for them. It's destruction for. But those who will listen, and where even it is, according to us, illogical, but it's the words of Allah and His Rasul. Like for example, when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was going with the Bani Israel, and Fir'aun was following him from the back, and they came to the sea in front. And the Bani Israel said, "Oh Musa, you have brought us here, we are sandwiched now. In front is the deep blue sea. At the back is Fir'aun with his army. And they knew his cruelty and his torture and how he will kill them. Where must we go now?" At that time Allah gives, Musa alayhi salam said, "Kalla, never ever. Allah won't leave me in the lurch. Allah will show me my way." And what did Allah command? "Fadrib bi asaka al-hajar." Take your stick, which he had, the staff of Musa, which was famous, and hit the sea. Illogical, according to us. What will we say, Musa? And even when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told them, when a person was murdered and they wanted to know who the murderer was, he said, slaughter a cow and take the meat of the cow and put it on the person. He will speak and he will say. They say, atattakhizuna huzwa, you're making a joke out of us. What are you up to, Musa? Is this logical? Today we speak like that. Any commands of Allah, which in our small, feeble mind, which got no value, and we, that's the criteria of Allah's commands. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam hit the sea. Even we will say, at least he could take the stick and hit Firaun on his head. Allah's commands, how they were. So at that time also, so what we have to see, the command, that is called a mu'min, who obeys the commands of Allah Ta'ala. And we have to see how much of iman of that caliber have we got. Or we see everything about this dunya only. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, guide us to righteousness, and the short life make akhirat our object. And those who will have this taqwa and accept the commands of Allah, they will be the end successful. Otherwise in the qabr, it will be a different story for everyone. On the day of Qiyamah, the bridge of Sirat, pull Sirat we have to cross, which is across Jahannam. If we are going to be slaves of our brains and of dunya's things, and following all the dunya's things, whether it's the east or the west, when we don't follow the commands of Allah and the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have got grave problems in the grave. Allah guide us to righteousness, inshallah.